Blog Talk Radio.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
And with that, you got to know, it must be Sunday night. Welcome back, advocates, to another episode of The Pitbull Advocate. They call me Doc Father, and that guy right over there, he's Joe Frazier from Love of Pit Rescue. How you doing, Joe? Welcome back, man. Sunday night.
Doing pretty good.
Yay. Hey, we're supposed to have Tino Sanchez on tonight, and you know, I hope everything's going there, but, you know, things happen. Haven't heard anything back from him yet, but the show goes on. The show goes on. Can you hear this, Joe? Just listen for a moment. Can you hear that back there?
Kind of that squeak noise?
Yeah, that's a cat. That's Ruby. And so last few nights, she's just been, you know, all night long howling and howling and howling. And just a few weeks previous to that, she was doing the same thing. And I said, oh, she's in heat. And then she starts up again. And I'm going, my God, I said, how many times can a cat actually go into heat, Joe? So I looked it up. Every 2 to 3 weeks, a cat can go into heat. Every 2 to 3 weeks. I did not know that. I did not know that. But
they'll drive you insane quite quickly.
I'll tell her, it's like, and I just like go in there, would you just shut the up? And she'll stop, and then next thing you know, it's just like she's like rolling on top of the cupboard. Wow, wow. But anyway, enough of that, guys. We're waiting on you, Tino. We're waiting on you. We got her scheduled, so we'll get that taken care of. But we're supposed to have Tino Sanchez. He's founder of Peace, Love, and Pitbulls. He's done the Pits and Giggles. Joe, we got to meet him down at the LARPO training classes. He's a head trainer down there. Not only is he a really funny guy, and he's also a musician and singer. He does all that, but he's apparently a hell of a dog trainer. And from what I saw and the results that the people that were there were getting out of it, you know, I'll agree with that too. So if anybody out there listening got Tino's number, give him a call. Tell him, give us a call here. It's call-in show, 515-602-9775. 515-602-9775. Waiting on Tino. Joe, you do a little bit of training with the dogs there. I guess it would be more on the rehab side, as opposed to training. You know, letting a dog kind of decompress. So you got a little bit. Do you have anybody volunteers that'll come in to Love Pit Rescue and help you with training on certain dogs that might need a little extra attention, something that you, I don't think I can handle this, so you call in like a, you know, like a pro or someone else that you can trust to take care of that?
Yeah, we had a trainer, we deal with her on and off, but she came in for about a year and helped us when we had a pretty big batch of dogs that was, had some pretty deep issues. So we have a couple trainers on hand that will sometimes donate time out here, but for the most part, I do a lot of the rehab work, and then we also work on, you know, general obedience training. We want the dogs to go out at the best, you know, community member that they can be when they go out. So we try to make sure that they're, you know, fairly good as far as normal obedience as well.
Always a good bonus. Do you have any you do follow ups with any of the training if a dog, like you say, that might require something a little extra? Do you have follow ups, or do you recommend to your the folks that adopt dogs from you? Do you recommend they, you know, continue with any sort of formal training?
Any formal training that is done from outside our program. Through the gal that I had mentioned, she usually follows the dogs until they're stable, so there's always a support system there. And we do the same thing here. Anything that we've done, if there's any issues, you know, they're more than welcome to come back to us and say, hey, you know, my dog's doing this. How can we take care of it? And if it's beyond our capability here or our knowledge base, then we have a list of trainers that are reasonably priced, some that'll even deal with lower income people that'll help with training issues in dogs.
Good deal. Hey, advocates, our guest tonight was supposed to be Tino Sanchez, founder of Peace, Love, and Pit Bulls, and also the stand-up comedy event Pits and Giggles. I was really hoping to, you know, get in some more info on those events because they're coming up. They're really starting to get rolling here. I know Rebecca Corey, stand up for Pits. That's they got their 2020 schedule up. So we're waiting on Tino. Oh, Tino's a dog trainer too with Los Angeles Responsible Pit Bull Owners. So in the meantime, I get to interview. I'm interviewing Joe, our co-host here of 10 years, going on 10 years almost, the Pit Bull Advocate. Joe runs Love a Pit Rescue in Oregon. So if you have questions for Joe until Tino gets here, give us a call, 515-602-9775. So, Joe, you talk about the trainer that comes in and, you know, and we'll kind of do follow-up with any sort of training with the dogs. Do they say when a trainer gets kind of feels that the owner has a handle on it? Because mainly, I mean, you can get the trainer to train the dog, but what really matters is when that owner follows through with those things, and the you know, the dog trainer training the owner to train the dog is the way I've always seen it, excuse me, and the way, you know, pretty much it should be, because, you know, but anyway, when all that's done and the trainer feels that these two are doing together, do they get some sort of like a certificate of completion? Is that something that they hand out?
No, not really. I mean, the gal that works with us on and off, she typically works with troubled dogs, and she typically does it for the dog. So there's no real training facility. She's mobile. She goes to where the dogs are, and it's just about getting the dogs to where they are able to handle, you know, normal everyday social interactions without, you know, as much or aggression or whatever the issue is. And so, you know, it's just about making the dog workable and able to, you know, continue on with a productive life.
So what are some of the things that you've come across just as an example where, you know, outside, you know, the dog is fantastic, might, it's, you know, loves people, might get along with kids great, you know, it's with other dogs, but there's an issue. Is there anything like specific that you've come across that you look at that dog when you first took this dog in, and then the results that you got out, and you go, wow, I never knew that was inside that dog. Is there anyone in particular that you can share? We know Dosha.
Oh,
we know Dosha is one of those dogs.
Of course, there's Dosha. I mean, that's my pride and joy story there. But beyond that, oh geez, we've had a few. Probably one of our best stories is we had a local couple here that had a 85-pound black and white male. He was found roaming up in the woods at 6 months old, and they had never been able to get him to be around dogs. And so We basically did the training to help the dog and to help the people. I mean, we took a little bit of money here and there just to help pay for our time, but it was very minimal. And I mean, we didn't have it 100%, and when I got to where I got them the best that I could, they followed through with another trainer, and I was, upfront with them and told them, this is as far as I can get them. Here's some people you can contact, yeah. And they followed up through that. But I mean, even at that, I was able to show up on site with Dosha. I was able to get him out on a walk. He was able to walk along just a few feet behind her, pass without reaction. And it was mostly just, she was partial anxiety, and it was teaching her not to let that show and travel down the leash. And, just nice, calm, slow introductions. And they even actually ended up introducing another dog to their pack later on. So,
awesome.
A lot of good work there from both us and the other organization.
Yeah. And that's what it's taken, to be able to reach out to somebody locally and, to get that kind of support and give that kind of support to each other. It really gets things done. And, like I say, it takes a village, and it does. It takes cooperation between rescue organizations and working together as well. We see a lot of that competition stuff. I've actually left a few of the Facebook groups and pages up there just because you see this infighting, and it's just like it's really actually disheartening to see that how a lot of these groups speak of each other and
very counterproductive. It really halts what could be accomplished together by fighting each other and standing alone.
Yeah. You can't help but feel good, Joe. I mean, you and I both being in the rescue world, when that magic moment comes, you've brought in this dog, you've worked with this dog, you spent so much time with this dog, and there is a sense of pride. And I'm not saying you shouldn't. You should be proud of everything that you've done. But to just kind of boast that in such a way, and then for somebody else to even kind of knock you down for maybe putting something up, it is counterproductive. Like I say, Joe, you guys, I say this, we might not all be on the same page, but at least we're in the same book. So, you guys keep doing what you're doing and you do what you're doing. As long as you're saving lives, keep it up. And that is something you should be proud of. And it's like to see when I got involved in pit bull advocacy, even with the advent of social media, there really weren't a lot of people doing it. Things have gotten much better in that aspect. Social media gives us that power. And somebody goes, I can do that. I can do that. And they do it, and it works, that was another thing we did a while back was, the whole social media and the pit bull advocacy thing. But I think it works for us. So let's keep doing it. Speaking of good things in the pit bull world, Denver, you guys, what do you think of that, Joe? Denver is looking pretty good for the pit bull dogs.
I think it's about time.
It could happen. In Miami-Dade, are you listening? We talked about this last week. You can drop the ban for one day and allow all these folks out there with their pit bulls to, go out and everybody having a barbecue and having a good time and never had an incident. So it's time. I think they, pit bull owners on the whole prove themselves time and time again to be responsible, and we're a very diverse crowd of people. And I think, what's going on, Joe? Sounds like you got a circus going on. Hey, 15 minutes left, Advocates.
Did you hear about the police that are rescuing pit bulls for service dogs, for canines?
Wait, who's that? What?
This is Tambria, Joe's wife.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, I kind of missed that. Who is this?
Here in Oregon, there's police officers that are rescuing pit bulls to train them as canines.
As police canine units, y'all, can you get a hold of this guy? We'll get him on the show, Joe.
Yeah, we'll try that.
Yeah, I think that was that.
I can make some calls. I know there's a couple pit bulls on the Yamhill County Sheriff's team already.
Uh huh.
Yep.
Oh, let's get him on. You get that started, Joe, and I'll set the programming. We'll get one of the officers to call in and talk about these dogs. That would be a good one. That would be a good one. So hey, Advocates, we're supposed to have Tino Sanchez on, and I don't know what's going on. We'll figure it out. But if not, we'll get you on real soon. In the meantime, we got about 13 minutes left on the clock, guys. 515-602-9775. We're still going to make a show of it. We scheduled it. We're going to do it. But anyway, Joe, last time we had Tino on, that was fun. He had actually called in to that show. Real funny guy. I was actually really hoping to have this going, but we're getting it in back. That's still going to be a we get them next week. We'll do next week, and then we'll get our your officers or these canine units on the show. I think that would be another good one. Let's get Dahlia Canes, Miss Dahlia. Get Dahlia on. I'd like to hear her take on the Denver thing and how that could actually benefit working in favor of Miami-Dade. So let's hope so. That would be a really cool thing to see. In the same year, to see the longest standing breed bans in the United States just fall. And then, you know, we've proven ourselves. We've proven that the program that they have doesn't work, and that it isn't the dogs. It isn't the breed or the type of the dog. You know, like my niece says, it's the person at the other end of the leash. You could have the best of intentions.
Yeah.
You could have the very best of intentions. And you could still have that. Some things happen, but, you know, be responsible before you're held responsible. If you know your dog is aggressive, work with him and don't take him out in the public. It's just, it's irresponsible, you know.
Yep.
You know, and then there, of course, you know, there are people out there that just, you know, will instill that sort of aggression in their dogs, and that's not the type of people that we want to, you know, have representing us up with these dogs. But I think, you know, all in all, you know, I think we're doing good, you know, with folks like Joe, like you and Tam, Tino, everybody at Pits and Giggles, Larkbow, Bad Rap, so many groups out there that are doing it. And, let's make more of a effort, Joe. I think we'll get some of these people on and give them the recognition that they deserve, you know, and talk to them about their groups. Because 15 years, I think I've been kind of, I guess, an advocate for these dogs. That's pretty awesome. And it feels good that I'm going to look back on and go, wow, has it really been that long? And Joe, you've been at it too, you know. So it's like you look back and you go, wow. been doing this for a while.
We've come a long way.
You know, and it feels good, Joe. I'm gonna pat you and Tam on the back and give you really big hugs because you're doing a great fucking job out there. Just to you, for the most part, volunteers. They come and they go and some stick around but for the most part that you guys have dedicated your lives to this you've had fundraisers, there have been struggles. There have been trials and tribulations, but there's, do you look back on it and you go, I think you're doing a pretty good job. So keep it up. Never give in. Never give up. That's what we say here at the Pitbull Advocate. Joe, we've got 9 minutes left on the clock. Nancy, Dog Mother and I, we'd like to, get into, do a little more rescue work. But, really it's a lot of it's financial. I mean, even if we were going to, foster a dog for somebody, we've got three of our own, and that in itself is a challenge. How it goes, Joe. In the multi-dog homes, you've got different personalities. Used to be when I had the five, it was just like, okay, we're all just going to hang out in the same room, but that's a very unique situation, and just like that kind of situation isn't going to, of course, work with the three I have now, granted that two of them were part of that 1-5, and now we have Lalo in the mix, and he's not a bad guy. He's just a poor decision maker. sometimes he just does something stupid, and he gets in, and he'll get, and somebody's going to tell him, oh, hey, you tell him what time of day it is, and he's going to be all like, okay, he's going to get all hurt, his feelings hurt, but they teach each other, and if we don't learn from them, it doesn't all, Joe, a dog knows more about you, say, in the first 30 seconds of meeting you than you could probably pick up in the next, 3, 4 days, weeks, whatever. So, we learned from them. Watch the body language. Some of them are a little more vocal. But every situation's unique, but to have, just to have, be able to have these three dogs and the cats, even Ruby back there, Ruby's still looking for a home, but, got to get that away. But, these dogs, Joe, advocates, how it is, we did last week, how do I love my pit bulls? Let me count the ways. Where do we start? Do we start on that? Where do you start? Beanie, anybody who knows me way back, when I first started, old Bean, she was my deputy. She was always my top dog when we had them out there in California. That crew, my posse, I call them, they paid attention to her. They followed her. She was a leader, and I think when she passed away, that was, I think, especially hard on Shavaya. He really changed. You could really see a change. I mean, it was, she still had the spunk. He was happy. He got around, but you could always tell that something was missing from him, and. But he and his stuff, he's a pretty good, darn good dog, too. 16 years.
Yeah.
No, 17. 17. Oh, my gosh. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Imagine that at 2 a.m.
Yeah, no.
Oh, my God.
We've got...
And I think every 2 to 3 weeks... Oh my God, and that's the one thing. It's like, and that's the thing. Dogs take a little bit longer between the heats, But I'm thinking, spay and neuter your cats, especially every 2 to 3 weeks. Every 2 to 3 weeks, she does not go outside. I told Dog Mother last night. I said, I swear to God, I'm gonna put her out on the porch. She goes, don't you dare. I wouldn't put her out on the porch, but spay and, like Bob Barker, spay and neuter your pets, you know. But but I mean, the fact that we've got these three, oh my gosh, pit bulls, and these three cats. And I tell you, I've got more trouble with these with Sabrina beating up Ruby than I do with my dogs, whether or not they get along or not. You know, it's just like. She's kind of
nine times out of ten, I have more squabbles between my cats than I do my five pit bulls. Yes,
but yeah, you know, it's just like, you know, Sabrina's got to be, she's got to be the queen. She's got to be in charge. She's a good 15 pounds. She's pretty stout kitty, you know, and you know, dog mother says, oh, she's fat, and of course, you know. The comedian, you know, it's like, ah, she's not fat, she's fluffy, you know. but it's great, you know. You know, we got Miley back here. She's one of my fosters from California, and she was having a hard time, so we took her in. Oh my God, 5 years ago, six.
I'm all right.
Time flies, man.
Yeah,
so we made it. But she's amazing. She's about 13, 14. So we got the elder bulls, as they call them. Remember the first time I read that, elder bull. 3 minutes and counting, Advocates Joe. We could probably do a little overtime. You know, kind of don't want to knock this thing out too fast unless you got things that you need to take care of there. But we miss you, Tino. This was going to be a good show. And I think when we get him on, it's going to be a good show. I really wanted to laugh tonight. I was hoping to get some laughs tonight. Tino's a funny guy. And I also told him, I said, hey, if you want to get Brad Williams to call in, that would be okay, because he's done events with this before. Brad Williams is the little guy comedian. He's a little, I don't know. I think he's a funny guy, but he's a little, he was on a touring series called The Degenerate. So I guess a little raunchy, you might say. So, but he's a funny guy, and he's going to be doing the pits and giggles. Joe, I don't know about you, but I'd kind of like to find a way to get down there and do another PBA event down there with PBA visit to pits and giggles. It'd be nice if we were a 501c3, we could write it off. Couldn't you do that?
Yeah.
We could write that off. Or a business, if we were actually an incorporated, nonprofit or not. But if you're a business, we could write that off. Let's turn this Pitbull Advocate into a business, and then we can actually, you know, we'll run in the red all year and take a trip to, you know, Hollywood, and everything's okay. Just under a minute to go, Advocates. Just under a minute to go. I say, you know, we're going to have Tino. We're going to get him back. We're going to talk more about his role with Los Angeles Responsible Pit Bull Owners, LARPBO. Got all the classes, all breeds, all types, all sizes. It's pretty cool to see. I'm going to repost that video on our PBA page and get that. That was pretty amazing. I think we got an interview with Tino on there, didn't we, Joe?
Yeah, we did.
And we'll post that too. But we'll get him back, and we'll get get things scheduled up for next week. We're going to come back, Joe. It'd be great if you and Tam could get a hold of those canine officers and talk about the dogs, and especially, you know, you know, why specifically pit bulls? I think it would be great. There's got to be a reason. Oh, that's right. They're great dogs. Best dogs
got
in the
a
world.
Great
I'm
nose
biased.
Too.
Yeah, they do. And the thing is, you know, I read somewhere, we're in overtime, just for a bit. Somebody said that usually when they think of a canine unit, and then a lot of these headlines are really not all overly specific, and we know a lot of people don't actually go and read the whole article in some cases. But my understanding is that these dogs are not used for any purpose other than for drug sniffing, weapon sniffing, basically to sniff out contraband in cars, you know, possibly in an airport or something like that. They're not used in a manner that they use the actually they use predominantly the Belgian Malinois as far as basically an attack dog, which that dog is actually a weapon. In a manner of speaking, my understanding is they are not used for that, and they are predominantly, you know, just used in this this field. Am I correct on that? That are not used for.
I don't know. I haven't dug into it a whole lot, but most of the ones that I have found that there was stories on it. Most of the time, it has been that pit bull canine units were drug sniffing and weapon sniffing, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, because
that
attack dog
too.
Thing. Yeah, because that attack dog thing I mean that's why they you know they're getting these dogs when they're puppies, and I would actually really not like to see a pit bull in. These are rescue dogs too, which works out all the better. You know, they're young enough to where, you know, nose work is it would seem like a fairly easy thing for a dog to get a grasp on. Maybe, you know, not all are going to pass. I'm sure they pick and choose, but it just that they're out there doing this work. They're in the public. Amazing. So, you know, big, you know, could, yeah, you know, right there for the police department there. Anybody who's using these dogs, you know, let's get them on, man. That would be a good show.
I'll definitely see what I can do.
All right. So, hey, with that, advocates, again, we were supposed to have Tino Sanchez. Thanks for listening to this show. If you're here and hanging out, or you come back for the archived version of the show. We're going to keep at it. So anyway, guys, hey, we're going to be back next Sunday night at 8:00. And Joe, you got any closing thoughts before we shut this one down tonight?
No, not I can think of right offhand.
All right, guys. Hey, Joe Frazier, I'm Dog Father. This has been the Pitbull Advocate. And we'll see you next week.
Dirty and you. hope that you won. So understand, man, that you were A-plan, man. Eradicate, educate, and prosecute the bad man. You think it's tough, but to me, you a chump. You won't put yourself in a ring, cause you know you get chumped. So let the fat man sing and put an end to the sting. This ain't a champion sport, you're not getting a ring. Your friends think it's cute, no. On the low, it makes them sick. Show your heart, you're not really this. Or the monster we think you are. Put yourself in their shoes, you wouldn't like it if your face got scars. And your body get abused, every day you getting used. Stop fighting the dogs, find another way to get amused.
Stop fighting the dog.
You don't need to fight. You piss fool, man. Piss fool, man. Piss fool, man.
Stop fighting the dog.
You don't need to fight. You piss fool, man. Piss fool, man. Piss fool, man. Just to get a little bit of cash in your hand.
So you dream to kill, running on treadmills with heavy locks around their neck. Not chill when you chain them to the floor. That's when they madness builds. It's inhumane and it's not fair. You're denying them love that should be there. They're forcing the fighting so they have no fear. It's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair.
Stop fighting the dog.
How would you like if I put the muzzle on you, change you up?